Well, if the songs didn't give it away this morning, we're going to talk about vision. Let's pray. Dear gracious and heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together and for your presence here this morning. Lord, we confess that sometimes our spiritual vision might be blurry, and we need your touch in order to be able to see clearly. Holy Spirit, open our hearts and our minds to see your truth and to see your purpose for our lives. Push me out of the way and speak through me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right. Well, week 3 of 8, almost halfway there. Hopefully you're getting something out of this series. But today we're going to talk about vision. So I'm looking around and I see, I'd say over half of the folks here got some spectacles on. So you've been to the eye doctor before, right? I mean, I just got mine fixed. I don't know if you noticed last week I was wearing my old glasses where I couldn't hardly see anything and my bifocals were almost non-existent. Got them fixed, so now I'm wearing the new ones. We've all been to the eye doctor, or probably all of us have been to the eye doctor. I mean, even Batya's got glasses, right? So even the youngest person here has got glasses. We've been to the eye doctor. And what happens when we go to the eye doctor, right? Like, first, it's like, okay, take off your glasses. I'm like, okay, cool, I can't see anything. So he'll go through his thing, and, you know, then you get to the point where he puts you in that apparatus, right? And he's like, is 7 or 8, or whatever he says. I don't know if it's A or B or 7 or 8 or whatever, right? And then he just keeps through there. And I remember the first time I got bifocals, he's like, okay, put this down here like this, and then just kind of look down, and I'm like, oh my God, is Jesus in here right now? Because this is a game changer. Like, I don't know if you, I mean, I'm sure many of you have bifocals. That is a gift from Jesus. They are amazing. I love them. I remember when I first got them, I was like, no, I don't want bifocals on my glasses because I want people to think I'm old, right? So I had regular glasses and then I had reading glasses. But the point is, everything's fuzzy as we're going through this process of getting our eyes fixed, right? Getting our vision fixed. You know, 7 is a little bit more blurry than 8. Oh man, 9 is where it's at. 9 is that sweet spot where I can see absolutely clearly. And that's the same. The same thing with our spiritual vision or our spiritual sight. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time. We're going to be talking about an incident in Mark 8 where Jesus heals a blind man. And this is the only time in the Gospels where there was actually stages when Jesus was healing somebody. Now that's important for the context of this message because we're always in stages as Jesus continues to do his work in us. So let's start with Mark chapter 8, starting in verse 22. It says, they came to Bethsaida, they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and brought him out of the village. Spitting on his eyes and laying his hands on him, he asked him, do you see anything? He looked up and said, I see people. They look like trees walking. Again, Jesus placed his hand on the man's eyes. The man looked intently and his sight was restored and he saw everything clearly. Now the miracle in Mark 8 is unique, as I just mentioned, in the Gospels, because it's the only recorded miracle of Jesus that happened in stages. This is an important distinction for this particular message. Now, we've read before, you know, even in week 1 and week 2 of this series, that, you know, when Jesus would heal somebody, he would just say it and it was, right? Get up and walk, right? Get up and walk, you're healed, and boom, he was healed, right? But this time, it wasn't the case. Now, it wasn't because, you know, Jesus was off his game, right? And we're going to get to that in a little bit. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here. But let's take a look at where, kind of the setting of where we're at. So Bethsaida, and that means house of fishing. And it was in the Sea of Galilee, known very well for its fishing industry, and that's where all this took place. And we know that people, you know, fishermen, Mike Esterby, we know that these fishermen, they tell you like it is, right? I caught a fish this big, I promise, right? No, but they're to the point. They're a straight shooter, right? They will just tell you like it is, and that's what they did. They took this blind man. They didn't just say, "Hey, Jesus, there's this guy that needs your help. He needs you to just touch his eyes and heal him so he's able to see." No, they actually physically took him to Jesus. Took him there. They were invested in his healing, right? And I think that we all need people in our lives that invest in us for whatever it is. Now, the interesting thing is Jesus took him out of the village. He took him out of the village, which is, you know, you can think of it however you want, but I think, and it'll be in your notes, that Jesus wanted to take the blind man away from some familiar surroundings, so that when his sight was restored, everything would be made new. Everything would be made new. Because we're not just talking about a healing now, are we? We're talking about a transformation. And how did Jesus heal this guy? Well, he just spit right on his face. Spit on him. Spit on his eyes. Now, I can say with relative confidence that if that happened now, like if I just went up to Floyd and said, "Floyd, I don't think you want to wear glasses anymore," and just hocked a big old spit wad on his face, Floyd would probably, well, he can't even hear me, he would probably be like, "What are you doing, dude? That's weird and disgusting." If you just did that out in the middle of nowhere, you saw somebody who was, you know, maybe walking with, you know, with a cane, right? And you just went up and spit in their face in the name of Jesus, right? I believe that Jesus can heal people, for sure. But somebody who might not know Jesus and you just go up and spit in their face, they might start throwing blows, right? But why did Jesus do this? Because he was kind of using this blind man's senses. He was meeting him where he was at, right? This guy didn't know, and he couldn't see anything. Only thing he knew was his smell, touch, you know, his hearing, his taste. So that's why Jesus used that. That's why he physically did that. You know, he could have just said, "You know what? You're healed," and didn't even touch the guy, right? But no, Jesus was really meeting this guy where he was at. And if you know the story of Helen Keller, right, and Ann Sullivan, her teacher, you know, she was, Helen Keller was starting to learn different things, and it wasn't until Ann Sullivan signed the WATER, water, while running Helen Keller's hand underwater, so she could feel what she was learning. That's exactly what Jesus was doing. And then Jesus said what, or asked what, which is really the whole premise behind this message. He asked, "Do you see anything? Do you see anything?" Now that's kind of a weird question to ask. Right, if we're coming from the context of Jesus, "Do you see anything?" Well, come on, dude, you know if I can see something. Right? You know if I'm able to see. You are Jesus. You know, yet he still asked. Why did he ask? Jesus asked the man if he could see because he wanted him to participate in his own healing process. He wanted him to evaluate his own spiritual condition. This is exactly what Jesus does with us spiritually. Jesus doesn't force spiritual sight on us. He asks us to examine our own spiritual condition. Do you see anything? In other words, do you recognize who I am? Are you starting to see the kingdom of God? Are you recognizing the truth that is in the Word of God? Do you see any of these things? And then this guy's response was interesting too, right? I see people, but they look like trees. They're just trees kind of moving around. I don't really get it. And then what happened? So his vision was partially restored. And then what happened? Jesus touched him again. And then he was completely restored. Absolutely, completely restored. And that's because we all have a partial vision problem. We all have a partial vision problem. And it's not just physically, but it's spiritually as well. You know, a friend of mine, again, was getting those glasses, you know, and as even you, as you go, when you look at the things, and like if I'm looking at it right now, I can't even read what's on the thing right there, right? But as you're looking at the thing, you know, you might be able to see maybe an outline of the letters, but they're kind of fuzzy, right? And then they do the literal, you know, 8 or 9 or whatever, and then things become clear. That's exactly what it is with our relationship with God. Every single day, He is gradually helping us see things more clear. Every day, whether we want to recognize it or not, doesn't matter. He is helping us. Spiritually speaking, many of us live with partial vision. We see people, but we don't see them as God sees them. We see circumstances, but we don't see God's hand at work. We see problems, but we don't see possibilities. We see what's wrong in the world, but we don't see God at work fixing all of the things that we think are a problem. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13, "For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully as I am fully known." So even the Apostle Paul recognized that on this side of heaven, we're going to have some vision problems. Right? We're not going to be 20/20 when it comes to Jesus. We're going to have some vision problems. We're going to be like looking in a mirror, you know, even, you know, driving, you know, at 7 o'clock in the morning in a North Dakota day, and there's fog all around you, right? It's just going to be kind of cloudy. On this side of eternity, we're still going to have some cloudy vision. It's not until we see Jesus face to face that changes. But the cool thing is that Jesus didn't leave the man with partial vision. He didn't leave him with partial vision. He touched him again and completely restored his sight. Now, I don't know about you, but I am a big yay God kind of person when it comes to knowing that Jesus is going to continue to touch me, to help me as I go through this thing called life. Because life is hard, right? We were just talking during announcements, right? Adulting is hard. It's challenging. Sometimes it's crazy. But Jesus is always there with us. Mark 8:25 says, "Again, Jesus placed his hand on the man's eyes. The man looked intently, and his sight was restored and saw everything clearly." So the second touch brought complete restoration, perfect vision, complete clarity. Now, why did it take 2 touches? We already talked about that. Because Jesus wanted the man to participate in his own healing. He wanted him to recognize, he wanted him to evaluate his spiritual condition. Something that I think we all should do every single day. Evaluate our spiritual condition. Sometimes God's work in our life happens in stages. Sometimes we need multiple touches from the Master's hand. And sometimes when we think we've received the final answer is just the beginning of something much bigger and greater and more powerful. Because Jesus will touch us again. You know, when I first became a Christian, gosh, I think it's been 31 years now. When I first became Christian, I thought I had it all figured out, right? I was still pretty arrogant, prideful. I mean, I knew Jesus, had a relationship with him, but I still had, you know, some things I was dealing with internally. I would see this whole, you know, Christian thing, but it was still a little fuzzy around the edges, right? I didn't see very clearly. And even today, I don't see perfectly clearly, right? Because Jesus is continuing to work in and through me. He's, you know, through his word, through prayer, through study, through everything that we do on a daily basis, Jesus is continuing to refine and make perfect our eyesight, knowing that it won't be perfect on this side of eternity. But thankfully, he continues to touch my face. He continues to touch my eyes and just really help me grow and get a stronger and more clear vision as I go every single day. Little by little, every single day. And I pray that's the same for you. He just continues to help us. He continues to touch our eyes so we can see much more clear. Philippians 1:6 is pretty encouraging. It says, I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So God will not leave us with partial vision. Amen? Amen. He will not leave us with partial vision. He's going to continue to work in us every day, whether we like it or not. You know, spoiler, it's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be difficult. But even in those difficult moments, we have to continue to push through. And spiritual blindness isn't anything new when we look at Scripture. If you take a look at Isaiah chapter 6, it says, and he replied, go, say to these people, keep listening, but do not understand. Keep looking, but do not perceive. Make the minds of these people dull, deafen their ears and blind their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their minds, turn back and be healed. So God isn't being cruel. He's recognizing that some people are going to choose spiritual blindness over him. They prefer darkness in their own understanding than the light of God. Jesus references this again in Matthew chapter 13 when he said, that's why I speak to them in parables, because looking they do not see, and hearing they do not listen or understand. So parables were like these spiritual eye exams, right? Sometimes it was fuzzy, and he would use these parables to help reveal things to people. And Jesus wanted to give sight to the blind. In Luke chapter 4, it's not on the screen, I forgot to put it on there. When Jesus read from Isaiah, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. So this wasn't just about physical blindness. Jesus came to open our spiritual eyes, to help us see God, to see ourselves, see others, and see life from an eternal perspective. That's one of your notes on the screen in a minute. He opens our eyes to see. And if anybody's been there. Maybe you've been somewhat spiritually blind in some instances, and you would just pray and you would ask God to, you know, to just open your eyes to different things. That's why when I pray, and, you know, before the message, just Holy Spirit, open our eyes to see. Because I want Him to open us up to what He's trying to show us. So what causes spiritual blindness? There's a few things. Sin is the primary cause. John chapter 9 says, if you were blind, Jesus told them, you wouldn't have sin. But now that you say we see, your sin remains. So sin doesn't just separate us from God. It affects our ability to perceive spiritual truth. It affects our ability to see spiritual, to perceive spiritual truth. And pride is another factor. I mentioned, you know, when I first became a Christian, I still had a little bit of pride. You know, a lot of selfishness, right? A lot of different things. And pride affects us to be able to see. Satan is another influencer back in the day, as it were, a bad influencer, right? So we take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where Paul writes, in their case, the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So a hardness of our heart. Hardness of our heart contributes to our spiritual blindness. But there is good news. Amen. There is good news. None of these things are beyond Jesus' capability to heal us. Jesus will continue to heal us, even though we're going through these different struggles or challenges or we're dealing with, you know, sin. Jesus will heal us. So just as the blind man healing happened in stages, our spiritual sight will often happen progressively. There's three different stages. I'm going to go through them quickly. The first is a spiritual awakening. Spiritual awakening, that's when you recognize you have a problem, right? Spiritual awakening. You know that things are not as clear as they should be. Maybe you have been a Christian for a little while and things are still a little cloudy. Maybe you are a seasoned Christian and you recognize that maybe I've fallen away from doing everything that God has really called me to do throughout my life. Second stage is partial understanding. So that's when we can start to see the spiritual truths. Start seeing them. They're a little fuzzy. Or it might be a little cloudy still, but we're starting to see the truth. And then stage 3 is clear vision. That's when everything starts to come into focus. So what did we start out with the first one? Spiritual awakening. Well, we first have to recognize that we don't see clearly. Now, it doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for 31 years, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, 5 minutes. We all have to recognize that we have a problem, right? We all have partial vision, and we all need Jesus to help us. Beautiful thing is that even stage 3 continues to develop throughout our life. We never stop growing in spiritual insight on this side of heaven. We never stop growing in spiritual insight on this side of heaven. So I don't want you to leave here thinking, man, all I got to do is pray, you know, a couple prayers over the course of the next couple weeks, and I'm going to have 20/20 vision when it comes to my spiritual, you know, vision. No, we're not going to have that 20/20 vision until we look at Jesus face to face on the other side of eternity. So how do we apply all of this to our lives? Again, we need to acknowledge. We need to acknowledge that we need this spiritual sight. And I'm not just talking about, you know, just our everyday lives, yes, of course, but everything that Jesus has called us to do, to go out and make disciples that make disciples, to preach the gospel, to love on people, to give generously, to do all the things that He's called us to do, all of that is part of this spiritual insight. We need to recognize and acknowledge our need for it. Second thing we need to do is we need to be patient with the process. Be patient with the process because spiritual growth takes time. Who's a big fan of waiting? Right? No. Right? We do. I think just inherently in our nature, we don't like to wait for things, but we have to recognize that spiritual growth takes time. It takes time studying the Word, praying, and getting with other believers and studying the Word together, coming to church. All of those things, it takes time. Don't get discouraged. We need to stay close to Jesus. That's the third thing. We need to stay close to Jesus. If we want Him to touch us multiple times so we can continue to heal and get this vision that He's trying to give us, this spiritual insight and this vision, we can't be far away from Him. I can't be, you know, miles and miles and miles away from Jesus if I want Him to continuously touch me as I continuously fall short. No, I need to be in lockstep with Him. I need to be right next to Him so you can just be like, dumb, dumb. Right? We need to be close to Jesus. And the fourth thing is we need to help other people see. A part of our responsibility as followers of Jesus Christ is to help others see what we have. To see the amazing relationship that we have, that they could have with relationship with Jesus. We need to be that change agent in their life. We need to be that person that God is using to maybe not, you know, have them complete make the decision, but we are a piece of somebody's puzzle. We are a piece. And we have to play our part in order for other people to recognize their need for this spiritual insight. Now, it's worth noting that this miracle appears in Mark's gospel. And it comes right after Jesus' discussion about the blindness of the Pharisees and right before Peter's declaration of Jesus as the Christ. And this particular healing kind of serves as the bookend from the healing that we talked about. I think it was in week one where Jesus healed another blind man. If you remember Bartimaeus, right? I think that was week one. So this is kind of the bookend to that. Now between these two healings, Mark records Jesus' teaching about discipleship, His prediction of death and resurrection, and the disciples' struggle to understand. Anybody ever been there, struggling to understand what Jesus is doing in our life? Now, the placement suggests that Mark is using these physical healings to illustrate the journey that we all go through for this spiritual clarity. Right? Because it's a journey. All right, it's a marathon, it's not a sprint, it's a journey that Jesus does in our life. Now, Peter confessed in Mark 8:29, it says, "But you," he asked them, "who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And what does that show? That shows Peter's vision went from super cloudy to clear. To absolute clarity that Jesus is the Messiah. Now, Jesus' question to the blind man, "Do you see anything?" is a question he's asking us. It's a question he's asking us today, tomorrow, yesterday. It's a question he's asking us every single day. Now, do you see God's love for you even when things are difficult? Do you see His hand at work in your life even when things don't go according to your plan? That's a tough one. Because our plans are always the best plans, right? No, sorry, spoiler alert, it is not. Right? Jesus' plans are always way better than ours. Sometimes we need to answer honestly. Sometimes we need to say, Jesus, I see people walking around, but they look like trees. We need him. We need to be close to him so he can continuously touch our eyes and give us the sight that he's called us to have. The beautiful thing about this story is that Jesus didn't leave the man with partial vision. He touched him again, and he'll do the same for us. So if you're struggling to see clearly, you have the steps before you. Acknowledge that you can't see very clearly. Recognize that now you have partial vision, and continue to work and study in prayer with like-minded believers, and continue to receive the touches of Jesus. So here's the promise that we can hold on to. Jesus is in the business of opening up blind eyes. That's his business. He's opening up blind eyes. Isaiah 42 described the Messiah's mission as opening up eyes that are blind. Luke 4:18 records that Jesus declaring that he came to proclaim recovery of sight for the blind. But it's not just about opening our eyes once. Jesus is and continue to open up our eyes. Because I promise you, each one of us are going to sin today. And as we sin, we're going to be like, oh man, I shouldn't have done that, or I shouldn't have said that, whatever. And then we're going to go to Jesus like, oh, I'm so sorry. I need to do better. I'm going to try to do better. I'm going to just help me be better. And Jesus is going to go, keep trying. Keep going. He's going to continue to touch us, but we have to be close to him. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says, we all, with unveiled faces, are looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord, and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So we're being transformed with ever-increasing glory. Transformed every single day with our spiritual sight is continuously being improved as we continuously work in our relationship with Jesus. This isn't a one-and-done situation. We have to continuously work on it. So the blind man in our story experienced something wonderful. He experienced sight. But it wasn't the first time. It was the second time. He had to take some responsibility of part of the process to receive that healing. And we too need to take some level of responsibility, if that responsibility is reading the Word, praying, doing all the things that he's told us to do through his Word, and do it gladfully. Man Jesus healed could see the physical world clearly. Can we see the world spiritually? Do we have those blinders still on? Are things still cloudy? Are we able to see the world clearly through the eyes of Jesus? Because that's what we want, right? We want to see things through God's eyes. Because that's how we are able to start aligning ourselves to his will. It doesn't work the other way around. He doesn't change his will to line up with our life. We need to be able to see clearly. So when Jesus asks you today, do you see anything? I pray that your answer is yes. Yes, I am beginning to see things more clearly. I am beginning to see things more clearly, but I recognize that I need your help every single day to be able to see more clear and more clear and more clear until I meet you face to face, when my vision will then be 20/20. So the people of Bethsaida brought their friend to Jesus because they believed he could help them see. And we have that same privilege. We have that same privilege of bringing people into a relationship with Jesus to help them see. That is, it's nobody else's responsibility, right? It's our responsibility as followers of Jesus Christ to do that, to meet people where they're at, to introduce them to Jesus Christ, the person that changed our life drastically, so they can experience that same love, mercy, and forgiveness. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for being the one. Thank you for being the one that restores sight and brings clarity to our hearts. Father, don't let us settle for partial vision. Instead, help us to keep coming back to you for that second or third or fourth or fifth touch, so we can ultimately be able to see through your eyes. Send us out today, Lord, with a clear vision and a bold faith to live for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.